Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the Network of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray. I'll be your host this evening. I'm coming to you live from Los Angeles tonight, and I am myself an adult survivor of child abuse. Tonight we're doing one of our question and answer nights with our very special co-host who's with us almost every Tuesday night, every Tuesday except the third Tuesday, and her name is Dr. Deborah Warner. She's a Los Angeles-based forensic psychologist and a professor at the Chicago School of Forensic Psychology, and she'll help lead tonight's discussion. It can be on any topic, frankly, that has to do with public safety, violence prevention, child abuse and trauma, and so forth. Dr. Deborah has an extensive resume, and there's so much to talk about with her that it doesn't fit on the description of the show that I'm allowed when I write a show description. However, I have added one thing about Dr. Deborah, and that is that she gave a recent TED Talk, which is now available, and you can click on the TED Talk link in the middle of the description of any of her shows from now on, and it will play for you on YouTube. She's also the author of a book, His History, Her Story, which you'll find on the website from the Script Conference, another link in the description of the show. That's an annual day-long or two-day-long event held in July in downtown Los Angeles. It's a wonderful event, and if you or ever near Los Angeles, if you can make it to it in the first part of July, please do attend. She also has a website, and I suggest you go to drdeborahwarner.net to find out even more about her resume. There simply isn't enough, as I say, space that Blog Talk Radio allows for me to write more about her. But since I'm on the air right now, I will say that she's a forensic psychologist who visits, among other things, prison systems, and talks to male incarcerants in these prison systems. And in fact, that's sort of an area of specialty for her, is male abuse. And that is the nature of what her TED Talk is about. You'll find it fascinating and worth your time. Don't do it now, do it after the show. But you will enjoy watching and listening to Dr. Deborah Warner giving the TED Talk just a couple of months ago, now available. We're waiting for our host this evening to call in. Dr. Deborah and Deborah Hunt, our host, are longtime friends. And in fact, Deborah Hunt is making her way to Dr. Deborah's office. And their plan is to do the show from the office tonight and then go have dinner afterwards. Pretty nice plan. My plan, don't tell her, my plan was to take my wife, who isn't home yet, out to dinner. Since Deborah Hunt is going to run tonight's show, and it's a surprise for Christina, so don't say anything to Christina, okay? But I'll tell you, she has been a fantastic hostess for Deborah Hunt, at least in my opinion. She's done a terrific job. And, you know, Deborah's been here a couple of weeks. We're delighted to have her. We're going to lose her tomorrow. She goes back to her home in Arizona tomorrow and thinking about how to move to California in the not-too-distant future. But in the meantime, we've been really happy to have Deborah Hunt as our guest, and Christina has done a terrific job hosting her and done all kinds of special things. So I thought it would be a neat thing to sort of surprise her with taking her to dinner. When she gets home, I'll do that. But in the meantime, I've got the show started for Deborah Hunt when she calls in. And there are people lining up now in the queue who are on the panel. The first of them is Carol D. Levine. Carol D. Levine doesn't really need a big introduction to anyone who's ever been on our shows because she's been on them for years. She's also one of the hosts of our shows. But tonight, she's what we call trailing. She's here to assist the host. Carol Levine is from Oxford, New Jersey, which is in the upper left corner of New Jersey, northwest New Jersey. And she serves as the vice president for NASCA and is the author of a book, Panic Child, the harrowing true story of sexual abuse and neglect. So let me welcome to the show Carol D. Levine. Carol, thanks for being here tonight.
You're welcome, Bill. A little under the weather with a bad tooth, but I'm sure I'll feel better tomorrow. Yes.
All right. Our next panelist is Bobby Hyde from Miami. Bobby, again, is someone that's a regular on our shows, and if you've been here before, you probably have heard of Bobby. He's very active on these shows and calls in fairly regularly. Bobby Hyde, thanks for calling in this evening.
Hello, Bill. Right here. The third night of the Festival of Hanukkah celebration.
Well, happy Hanukkah to you. Absolutely.
Yes, my friend. Yes.
All right. God bless you, Bobby. Thanks for being here tonight. And let me go on and introduce our co-host, who I've already described a little bit before, but I'll describe her again. Dr. Deborah Warner is a Los Angeles-based forensic psychologist. She is a professor at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology here in Los Angeles. She'll help lead this discussion along with Deborah Hunt when she gets here. We're pleased to announce that Dr. Deborah does these shows almost every Tuesday night, every Tuesday except the third Tuesday in the month. She is an educator and a violence prevention expert and recently gave a TED Talk that's linked in tonight's show about one of her specialties, which is male survivors. She's also author of the book His History, Her Story, A Survival Guide for Spouses of Male Survivors of Sexual Abuse and Trauma. And you can find that through the website for the Script Conference or through DrDeborahWarner.net, both of which are linked in tonight's show. Without further ado, let me bring her on, Dr. Deborah Warner. Wow, Dr. Deb, you look great tonight.
Well, thank you. You can't see me, but thank you.
Yeah, but you always look good when you're smiling like that.
Aw.
See?
Love you, too.
I love you, too. Deborah Hunt is on her way. I thought she'd be there by now, and whenever she gets there, she can take over this role, the hosting role, from me, of course. But I just want you to know she is on her way. She's in a Uber car, so she might be at the bottom of your building around now. I don't know. But whenever she gets there, she gets there. And we'll just start the show with her, and I explained I would jump on to get it started if I didn't see her name. So I waited about 2 or 3 minutes, and then I called in as the host, and when she gets here, she'll get here. But in the meantime, Dr. Deb, we have Carol and Bobby, and I'll open their mics because tonight, being a question and answer show, is one of those shows we have, an open mic forum. And I'll ask them and remind them that if there's noise in their background, in their world, that they mute themselves until they want to speak, and then unmute to speak, but mute again when they're finished talking. So Carol and Bobby, your mics are now open, as is Dr. Deborah's and mine. And I'm wondering if anybody brought a topic or a question that they would like to present to get the show rolling tonight. Anybody have anything?
Carol.
I have
and,
a Tuesday,
and again,
dude.
Go ahead.
I'd like to say something. Yeah, I'd like to say something, Bill. No, I watched... Dr. Deborah, I watched your TEDx talk, whatever you want to call it. It was quite good. I was quite taken by it. You did a good job. I just want you to know that. I watched it actually yesterday before I went to the dentist today. But anyway, I did watch it, and I did like it, and I thought you did a good job. Yes, you did.
Well, how about that, huh? Well, thank you,
I think
Carol,
I blew her away.
I don't know.
I think
she's
I blew
still,
her away.
Her mic is still open, but she might have muted herself. I don't know.
I don't know.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we hear.
I have to say it over again.
Yeah, there I am. I heard you.
Oh,
okay. So thank you so much. And the more you share it, the more people it will get out. So please share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you see, December is, I'm trying to talk here. I went to the dentist today, and I'm going to sound, my mouth is really swollen. Ugh, I'll be better by tomorrow. But anyway, December is the month that we do, I don't want to use the word celebrate, because none of this is a celebration, but we do speak about male abuse, because quite often, you know, the males are just plain forgotten. We know this. And because they have to be tough and rough, and they have to be this and that, and they're not so often to open up their mouths and speak about the abuse that they went through as children. So I did like your talk. I just written here. That
there,
is
there was a
period, subject.
There was a period of time. I think that's what Carol's referring to. That there was a person in the San Francisco area. Petra Luna, who used to celebrate such, what she called Male Survivor Week in the early, the first week or the second week of December. I attended several of her functions in various states, various cities in California, and spoke at them. And she has stopped being so active in the community anymore. And because of that, no one took that role over. But that's true. We have celebrated for years the first week of December as Male Survivor Week, and nobody's doing it anymore. But we can still talk about it, and absolutely, it's a great topic, Carol, so thank you
mm-hmm.
for that. I know it's
mm-hmm.
one that's near and dear to Deborah's heart. Right, Deb?
It's Bill.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a shame, Bill, because there's so many men out there. I mean, we're getting more men coming to our show than we ever had before, and this I'm really pleased about. We all are. You know, this is something that's great, because men are starting to speak out more. We know that it's 1 in 6 boys that are sexually abused when they're children, and then these children, they grow up to be men, and a lot of them, a tremendous amount of boys, don't get the help that they so deserve. And you know, there's a lot of things. For women, you know, who are, you know, female survivors of sexual abuse. But there isn't really that much for male, you know, for males. And it's changing a little bit, I would think. We do have our groups that are very good that we tell people about. I tell people about our groups, you know, adults who need help. I don't personally think the group should be one group for guys and one group for girls, because sexual abuse is a crime, and this is what happened to us and what we're finding
out
more.
Okay, let some other people make comments here, Carol.
Okay.
We'll make this a discussion then. But, you know, NASCA, just to comment on what you were just saying, is not a specialty group. We include everybody, male and female
mm-hmm.
and
exactly.
and transgendered, for that matter. We are transgendered and, you know, gay and straight and all kinds of people from every background, every walk of life, every religious sect, you know, educated and not, urban, suburban, rural, and all of that. But there are
mm-hmm.
a very few groups that are devoted, strictly speaking, to males and male survivors. And we promote them, you know, through all over our website. But at NASCA, you will find a mixture of every type of person, frankly, because that's who is abused. And it actually works very well, I think, to be a mixed group. And like you say, Carol, we're getting more men, too. For example, Bobby Hine is here. He's been with us the last 3 or 4 years. Right, Bobby?
Yes, Bill.
And when he showed up, we took a vote and decided to let him in. No, I'm kidding, Bobby.
I barreled in.
Yeah, and he won't go away either.
That keg of Guinness. Keg of Guinness.
So let's ask Dr. Deborah, Carol, about the male survivor and 1 in 6 organizations, or any others that she'd like to comment on if she wants to make a comment about it. Want to say anything about that, Dr. Deb?
You know, it's near and dear to my heart because my husband is a survivor, and one in six has been out there for years, you know, promoting and talking about male survivor trauma. So, I mean, they're the organization that's out there that people are citing, and also malesurvivor.org. So, you know, all of those organizations can provide help and resources, and they also have chat groups and all kinds of things that people can get involved in to learn more about being a survivor. So I hope that people look into that because it is one in six men. So you look around and you count six, at least one has. And I can't tell you all the people who have contacted me already due to that TED Talk.
Oh, I'm sure. You did do a terrific job on it. And, you know, this is an honor to be asked to do a TED Talk. So you were selected out of, any number of possible candidates to do this one. And did a terrific job, and now it's, you know, part of your resume, obviously, and it'll be linked in the description of the show for anybody who runs into this show, and we do it almost every week, so, you know, we help promote these issues all the time, and we're happy to do so, because, you know, for us, men are just as important as women, and frankly, women are just as important as men. We don't make a distinction. And we want to help anybody at all. If you're a newcomer out there, you have found a place you can be comfortable. There are thousands of us in the NASCA organization who are active, and I don't know how many who are not active, but there are many thousands in North America only. And then we have overseas. We have dozens and dozens of overseas members now, too, because we're really an international organization. In fact, we have tools that address the need to find a local group, a recovery group, all over the world. And it's a global tool, and so is our calendar of events. They're both global tools. So basically, no matter where you are, there's a possibility that NASCA already has information about what's available to you locally, even if you're in, you know, Zimbabwe. It doesn't matter. You know, we have a Zimbabwe page, in other words, and so forth, all over the globe. Did you bring something that you would like to talk about, Deborah? By chance?
Just recently, you know, someone actually reached out to me about their trauma and their inequity and how they were not allowed to talk about it. And then they saw my TED Talk and they said, how come it only has so many views? How come nobody's talking about this? I said, because you need to share. Because you need to talk about something that's so taboo. And they're like, you know, they remembered talking to someone and telling them, you know, that they were abused and that they didn't believe them. They just told them they would get over it. And I said, that's a common thing that I hear at male survivors. That's a common thing I hear with survivors in general. And it's really hard for people to understand that people just who are normies do not have the same emotional responses that you have because you have been through that experience. And it doesn't dismiss it, but it requires a lot of education out there for people to not respond that way.
Yeah, and that's a big part of our mission here, as you know, Dr. Deb. That's why you're here with us. And you are obviously a member of the NASCA family too. But, you know, it's half of our mission to educate the public. It's an uninformed public. We need to approach in a friendly way and try to, you know, to describe the different issues and facts that that we know as survivors. We study this regularly, and they don't know. They just don't know. It's not their fault. It's just that it's not commonly talked about. And so, you know, to get that dialogue going, we need to educate the public, as many people as we can. And it is all about what I call outreach or sharing. You know, and that's half of our mission. The other half being obviously offering through lots of paths and providing services to adult survivors of child abuse. And of course, these two things are that's our whole purpose. You know, to talk about issues of child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas of various kinds, and neglect from those two perspectives. So, yeah, I appreciate your saying that because I like to use this platform. Obviously, it's a good platform for us. It's only one of 30 things that we do, the radio show, but it's pretty well known. And it is a way to do outreach. So just so people know, we don't do any other jobs. We do those two jobs and only about child abuse and trauma. Which we can't get Carol to be, be in line with us because she always wants to talk about public safety too. But you know what, Carol? On this show, it's fine to talk about public safety too.
Carol's not talking much tonight because my jaw is hurting. I'm listening.
Okay. You've told us that. We know. Don't worry.
Okay.
Dr. Deborah, though, has a background in public safety issues, as do I. And so she and I are, and so does Deborah Hunt, for that matter. This show will always be able to include issues of public safety or violence prevention as well. And we specifically say that in the first line of the description of this show because we want people to feel comfortable, you know, bringing up any of those items too. I will report that my friend who I've talked about before, Jim McDonald, was defeated in his attempt to be reelected as the sheriff. But I want to wish him well. He did a terrific job. He's been in law enforcement for 40 years. And the man that's replacing him, I wish him well, too. I don't know him personally because he was a lieutenant. I don't usually...
Where'd you go?
47%.
Can you hear me?
So he's the new sheriff, and he's been sworn in. So we welcome the new sheriff, and we thank Jim McDonald for all the work he's done. He was with LAPD 35 years. Then he was with the Long Beach Department as their chief of police for a number of years, and then he was the sheriff. Make a rest, and I hope he does, and a well-deserved one.
Bill, I just want you to know that you're going in and out, okay? So we're only hearing, like, part of a sentence.
Okay? Let me ask the others if that's the case with them, too.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me okay,
yes.
Dr.
Yes.
Depp?
Yes.
No, same thing happened to me, going in and out, Bill.
You're going in and out.
Bobby's getting
okay.
In and out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know what I can really do about that because I don't want to hang up or the show might go through a... Let me see. A different microphone. All right, I've got a new microphone I'm using and see if that helps you, Carol. Obviously,
okay.
I want the quality of the show to be as good as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I was saying, I'll just say it simply, that Jim McDonald, my longtime friend and someone Dr. Deborah knows pretty well, too, was defeated at the in his election. And he last week, he acknowledged the defeat, 53-47%. It was won by the newcomer, who I don't know, but I will get to know. And I want to thank Jim McDonald for the service in all the law enforcement years he's given us. And I hope he has an enjoyable retirement. And I also want to welcome the new sheriff to his job and wish him the best and here to support him if he needs. So that's where we are right now. So that's just a little local law enforcement news, but something that affects both Dr. Deborah and myself. And Dr. Deborah, of course, is a personal friend of mine and of Deborah Hunt's. We don't know where Deborah is right now, but she's probably struggling beside herself, Deborah, right? She's probably just so upset.
No, you said local. This man, this new sheriff, the sheriff of Los Angeles?
Right. We now have a new sheriff.
Of Los Angeles.
Sheriffs are, Sheriffs are elected in, okay. Yes. Sheriffs are elected in Los Angeles for 4-year terms. Jim McDonald just completed his 4th-year term. And had to run a second time, and he did not win a second term, is what I'm saying. So the new sheriff and is somebody I don't know personally because he was a lieutenant in a division that's not near me, and I don't generally know the people that are in that level. His name is Alex Villanueva, he was seen as winning in an upset over Jim McDonald. But I wish him the best, just as I hope Jim McDonald enjoys his retirement. I hope he does actually retire. So, yeah.
And this is the sheriff of Los Angeles, yes. And Los Angeles is a huge district, or I'd say area. In fact, it's the second largest police force in the country after New York. I think there's 12,000 or 14,000 sheriff members, compared to, for example, 10,000 LAPD members and about 30,000 New York City members. These are the biggest law enforcement agencies in the country, followed perhaps by Chicago, I think, is the next. But in any case, it is a big job. It requires being able to interact with an awful lot of different kinds of people. And, you know, it's a challenge for anybody. But I thought Jim McDonald did do a good job. And I wish him the best in his retirement, just as I wish Alex Villanueva, the new sheriff who's been sworn in now, all the best. All right. I'm still watching to see if Deborah Hunt's going to be here, and she hasn't yet. Has she communicated with you?
She's not here yet. Nope.
Yeah, has she tried to communicate with you? No. All right. Well, we'll just push ahead. Bobby, do you have an item you'd like to bring up tonight?
Well, it's not an item. It's something that's been a conversation with me the last several days and weeks since I got back from being up north. And I had the same conversation a couple of days ago and yesterday. I was wondering what Deborah would say to me. You know, it's about child abuse. And it's about the fact that we have NASCA is about child abuse. And,
right.
I bumped into a surgeon, colorectal surgeon, at Holy Cross Hospital the other day, who's been there for 10 years, and he's just resigned. And I asked him if he does either urology surgery or does children's surgery as a colorectal doctor. He said, no, he does adult. Child surgery is a whole special
unit. What's the topic? Bobby, you need to tell us what the topic or question is so we can have a discussion.
Tell you first about these people. So
we don't need all this. We need to hear the question or the topic, please.
Well, should I ask Dr. Shochet or Dr. Bauer at the Mass General Hospital in Boston, the Children's Hospital of Boston?
Right.
How much of their pediatric urology surgery is preparing child rape, not just birth defects? And I wanted to ask Dr. Shoka tonight, but you know, it was not a right time to talk about something like that. We just were rapping. And
okay,
I, Dr.
Let's
Bauer,
find out from Dr. Deborah.
Well, wait a second. Someone told me recently. Let me finish my conversation.
No, it's
Dr.
not.
Bauer,
you don't have the conversation. We have a conversation, all of us, if you present a topic, and that was a topic.
Okay.
So I don't want you to get hung up in long descriptions of something. You don't need the whole story.
Yeah.
And Dr. Deborah heard the question. It's basically, you know, how much should you interact with someone in a professional capacity like a doctor about in questioning them regarding how much of their services are devoted to issues of child abuse and trauma, especially in this case, as a surgeon who might be doing repair work on people who were abused, raped as children. So that's a very good question for Dr. Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she has an answer for us. And we'll go on from there, Bobby. You'll get to share
a little more in
a second. But Dr. Deb, what do you think?
Thank you for setting it together, you know.
What is the exact question? I really got a little confused. I'm sorry. I'm being honest.
Bobby has a couple of people in his life who are surgeons, doctors anyway. And one of them is a pediatric urologist. And he said, is it okay to ask somebody like this in this capacity as a profession, how much of their of the service that they provide the pediatric community in urology is a repair service for people who were abused sexually as a child, for example, raped or something as a child? And that's his basic question. Is it okay to ask that kind of question, or how do you do it?
I guess it would be an odd question to ask somebody. It would depend on what your purpose for it is, maybe. I know that there's a lot of people who try to look for that, but just to come in and ask them that, I don't know if they tell you the information. They don't know your purpose. Like, if you're a researcher or if you're asking for curiosity, they really can't reveal those things to you. So I guess it's how you gauge it, how you know these people. It's an odd thing to just go ask somebody.
Right. I think if you were going to ask, you'd have to ask in a very general way. You would certainly not get any information about any particular people from a doctor. It just as Dr. Warner, has a confidentiality agreement with all their patients, so do medical doctors. And they would not describe specific people. But they might be able to answer a generic question, knowing that you're an activist with an interest in this field, perhaps. Maybe on a percentage basis, or fairly just in general. However they answer, that's the answer. Don't press them, I would say. But 10% of my practice or whatever, 20%, whatever they'd say. But Carol, would you feel, I don't think you would feel bad about asking the doctor a question like that, would you?
Who, me?
Nah. Yeah.
Actually,
no.
Quite frankly, if you ask it in a certain way, I don't think that it would be, going against confidentiality, because you're not bringing up any names. Jobs I've had in the past, we had the HEPA thing there where you couldn't give out information. HEPA. And, but a question like that is really just a generalized question. So I don't think that if the guy wanted to, or if the woman wanted to, the doctor wanted to, offer that information, I don't believe it would be going against, the law in any way. But I don't know, Bobby, if they would actually do that. Like Dr. Deborah Warner said, like who are you to ask that? They probably wonder what your background was or why are you interested. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me say this about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't the doctor who I approached, the doctor at Boston Children's Hospital. It was some people that were at the dinner I was at, and I mentioned the fact that I'm from NASCA. I added that to my conversation at first. I said, you know what? I was thinking this. And since I'm associated here, that's a big possibility. This doctor has been child surgery for 50 years. He's up there getting, this happened to me, this accolade for this year. But he's not sitting there with a dollar in his bank account. This doctor has been in the business 50 years. So he's pretty staunch in his business. And I was just starting to weigh and measure my conversation, and people sort of didn't really, first of all, I didn't think he'd be wealthy because he does a lot of charity work. I said, no, this doctor is very wealthy. Impossible, 50 years in a specialized field. They didn't believe me what I was saying, but I said, but I'm from a NASCA program, and his business has to be a lot of emergency stuff also. Some of the emergency stuff.
Well, for example, Bobby, if we asked Deborah Warner about her practice, it depends on, it's up to her how she answers, but it's really in her lap to be confidential. That's part of what she, has sworn to. She's sworn to confidentiality.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
could choose to answer in a general way. If we said, how many of the men in your practice are child abuse victims? She could say, since it's a special.
I think it depends on the person, Bobby. Again, if they could give a generalized statement, and if they felt like offering that, then, they could do that. I'm sure that there's a lot of children who are, in fact, I've known a couple
Okay.
As adults, not when they were children.
Mm-hmm.
When this happened to them, where they had to have surgery. There's mm-hmm. women out there who can't have children because mm-hmm. they were so sexually abused, you know, at a young age and so forth. We know this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We on NASCA know, you know, what can happen to children out there. So, and they might be, you know, fit into the category that you're describing.
Sure.
But, you know, that's all I can say on that.
Yeah, I would not, I don't know about that, you know, round table of people at a dinner who'd be able to answer that. And by the way, that's a really good way to end the dinner party, to ask a question like that. To be perfectly honest. You know, it's true, though. I mean, this is not a very common topic to hear discussed, you know, over cocktails. But you can end, you know, you can bring it up, but you're risking, you know, ostracizing, basically. Depending on how you ask it, you might, you know, make as many enemies as you make friends by asking that, maybe more. Mm-hmm. You have to approach this topic gently with most people. They are horrified to think that you would, in common, you know, in common discussion, a conversation, believe that it's appropriate. With us, it's appropriate. All of us here and many of the NASCA family members, that's why it helps to be a sort of a community of survivors and professionals that work on this issue, because we do, you know, understand the issue in a way the general public doesn't. But that's exactly why half of our mission is to educate the public. I think it's really important, though, how you do it, because you can lose an opportunity very easily to, you know, truly educate that group of people at the table, and an opportunity lost is just another time we have to wait till that many people educate it. So, you know what I'm saying?
Bill, I want to say it was sprung on me. You see, this came out of the blue in my mind.
Yes, didn't get sprung on you. That sprung out of you.
Who thinks of pediatric urology surgery as a specialty in medicine? You know, it's not really even in NASCA we don't think, there's a surgeon for pediatric urology. But this guy was up there in the podium. He looked like, you know, this fantastic specimen of health, thin, talking, very mechanically. I said, you know what? Wait a minute. It just dawned on me. It just hit me. Oh, my gosh. Could we talk about this? And it just kept, and it wouldn't leave my mind. So I had to open my mouth. And I sat there.
Okay.
Brand new person making a brand new conversation and a brand new idea in my mind. And you know something?
Good.
It was accepted, Bill. Nobody balked and nobody, you know, turned at me. They just took it in stride and, you know, tried to weigh it in their mind what I was
good.
You know?
Very good. Okay. Very good. Still watching Deborah, huh? Hey. Because she left quite a while ago and I waved. I'll observe at least what's going on and take over if need be. And so this is why I'm hosting right now. But her intention was to call in from the Uber car before 5, and obviously that hasn't happened. So I hope she's okay. We'll push on with the show right now. Let me go ahead and give the obligatory commercial that I always do about this time of the night when I remind people that are listening, this is a call-in show, an open mic discussion, and we're willing to talk about anything from the world of public safety, violence prevention. Our special co-host, Dr. Deborah Warner, she's here.
Bill, you're fading out.
Hey, I haven't moved. Is anybody else complaining?
Yeah, same thing here, Bill.
Can anybody else hear me? I'm fading out.
Going in and out. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't see anything wrong. I don't see anything wrong in the studio here. Nothing's come up, so I don't understand it. But yeah, you are fading out.
Okay. As soon as Deborah is here, I'll click off. The number to dial is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. Every night, six nights a week. We do shows every night except Saturday. 646.
Oh, he's really fading out.
All right, hold on, Carol. Listen to me. You listening? Don't
yeah.
say anything.
Yes,
listen.
I am. Okay.
When I hang up, you need to keep
yes.
talking, and I'll call.
That's no problem.
And as long as everybody stays on the line, the show.
Go ahead, Bill. I understand. Yeah, no
start
problem.
Now,
I'll take
okay?
over just for right now. Anyway, yeah.
Start,
one thing
start
I
right
want
now.
To say to go ahead. One thing I want to make clear about this show, and we have Dr. Deborah here. Dr. Deborah is good grief. I have a little problem here. Dr. Deborah is someone that we can ask all kinds of questions about our life, you know, as far as sexual abuse. And how it can affect us, you know, in our childhood, but also, too, in our adulthood if we don't get the help that we need, okay? And so often this does happen. People don't want to speak about the abuse that they've had because they're ashamed, especially with guys. Again, this is December, so I still go back, you know, to when Barbara was here because she did dedicate December to, you know, male abuse. And so you guys out there, you are stepping forward, and I am very proud of the fact that you have that guts to do that. It doesn't demean you, okay? You were never the ones that were guilty, okay, of anything. You're innocent, okay? And whatever happened, whatever the situation was, it has nothing to do with, you know, taking away from your masculinity. And this is what they try so hard to do, the perverts, as I call them, the monsters. They'll make actually the victim feel like, well, maybe you enjoyed it, so therefore you wanted it. Or it can also, and this is a good question for the doctor, she's here. With the sexuality part, Dr. Deborah, there are men who do struggle with their sexuality because maybe, just maybe, they were abused a lot as a child by men. So then they start thinking that possibly that maybe they are gay or is there something different about me? What do you say to that?
Most men struggle with their sexuality, but it doesn't mean they're gay. I mean, they could just be exploring. It could have... I mean, honestly, I mean, they could have already felt that way regardless of being sexually abused. And sometimes it just caused some confusion. But mm-hmm. them being able to do that and explore that is what is good because then they can figure out what it is that they want to do and start their journey of healing. But that incident doesn't define who they are as a person or a sexual being. It defines a moment in time that affects them great, very, very deeply.
Yes, it does. I remember that when I was a teenager, I for a short period of time, I had girls and guys both coming on to me. And believe me, when kids are teenagers, they already are not put together right yet. They haven't grown up yet. And so for me, it was kind of a strange time because I had been so sexually abused as a child, but by men. And then all of a sudden, girls were becoming interested in me. And I didn't like that. Now, I always knew that I liked guys. Okay? I had no problem with that. That wasn't my problem, if you want to call it a problem. But you know what I'm saying. I know that I desired men, not girls. But it always bothered me that women would be attracted to me as well. And I think that when kids go through something like that, it can be it can make the hurt even worse. You know, it makes you you screws up your brain. You don't know what's going on. So
boy, that was a huge problem for me, Carol, as you know,
mm-hmm.
because my abuse happened. All men abused me, and I didn't understand. I didn't feel attracted to men, and I never had. Not that
mm-hmm.
I was attracted particularly to women when it started. I was only 11, but I didn't understand why men were – I didn't understand the phenomenon of gayness or male-on-male relationship. And later, of course, I determined that it has nothing to do with being gay. It has to do with being a predator. But the point is that as a child, I didn't have any of this information. And mm-hmm. and I really had to wait quite a while to experiment, if you will, with girls because they just weren't around me. And it was a very confusing time, very painful time. Mm-hmm. And so I get it that the, you know, people can go through this this questioning of their sexuality. And see, I didn't understand why were they attracted to me. I wasn't attracted to them at all, man, I mean.
Right.
You know, I just didn't get it. And sure enough, I found out eventually that, yeah, the girls are what I wanted to be involved with. In a big way, I found that out. By the way, let me just report that Deborah Hunt is in the elevator, stuck in the elevator. But I think we just got it resolved, and she should be there momentarily, Dr. Deborah.
She's right here.
She's going to call in on the host. Okay. And she's
I'm
gonna call
out of
the
elevator.
Line.
I'm calling in on the host line right now.
Okay. And we're all here, and everything's copacetic there, Deborah Hunt.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So this is what happens sometimes, but you know what? There's ways. There's always ways around these things. And
yeah.
The way Blog Talk works is as long as we don't hang up the rest of us, you don't even need a host for the show to continue. But since I'm not the host anymore and Deborah's going to call in as the host, Deborah Hunt, we'll be back to pretty much the way we normally run. And Carol and I are both looking at the studio, Deborah, so you don't even have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
We already have the studio
okay.
running.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perhaps at the end of the show, Carol can play the music for you, something like that.
Yeah. All right. I'll take that. I'll take that 100%. I appreciate that. Carol, you know I love you.
Yes, I do.
100%.
Okay.
So the conversation tonight, where are we going with this conversation tonight? We have Dr. Deborah Warner here. And she is beautiful and amazing and always working and studious. But she's
Can I ask you, Deborah,
have you
called in on the host line? Because it's not showing up.
No, I have not. It's not allowing.
Please do that.
Okay, I will do that. So in the meantime, Dr. Deborah. Give me one thing that you think is most important to the NASCA family. Bill and Deborah and the host and all the people that make it so. Bill's vision is what has made this
Absolutely.
So. And the love that the survivors get when they call in. So that is really the most important thing is that people are supported when they call here on NASCA and they get resources. I think that resources are just an amazing thing that we get to establish for everybody else. And I know Deborah is sitting here looking at me like, you just barely got to my office. But at the same point, Dr. Deborah is so intelligent and has so much to offer to the world that I'm proud to stand next to her. I'm proud to be a part of what she's doing. And she's still looking if and about, but she's still beautiful and great and amazing. And I'm proud to be a part of who she is about. Bill, I know you've spent so much of your time and your life being a part of something that is so important. Can you give us just a little bit about why it's so important to you and so other people can understand why I'm doing what I'm doing?
I think for all survivors that get into recovery, there comes a point in our recovery when we wish we could share what we're learning with others, and that certainly was the case with me. I had promised not to go public with my story. I'd promised myself because my parents were not involved directly with my abuse, but were very, very hurt when they found out about it when I was in my late 20s. So all that time, it took about 20 years for me to keep that promise. And when my father died, followed by my sister, followed by my mother in succession, I had kept the promise. I had kept the promise, and so I launched NASCA. I went very public. But I had had a lot of opportunity to think about what I had encountered out there, and I created what I was missing from the survivor community. And NASCA is that thing. It's a group where it's not a specialty group. Everybody's included. It addresses only the issues of child abuse and trauma, no outside issues. And it follows actually the 12 traditions of a 12-step program in the sort of the spiritual traditions that principles that are set up that way. And you can look this up, anybody who wants to, on the NASCA website. In that pull-down menu, the last menu, which says participate at NASCA, the second-to-last link there says the 12 traditions under participate at NASCA, the second-to-last link. And it just lists the 12 spiritual principles that guide what we do and express why I do it this way. I started it this way, and I'm determined to, you know, hopefully keep it this way. So I hope that's a good answer for your question there, Deborah. It's my privilege, obviously, to do this work. But it really depends not on any particular person. In fact, one of the traditions. They don't govern. The ultimate authority is the entire group, the sort of the group conscience. Our leaders are a trusted servant. Are taking over a significant amount.
I don't know what's going on here tonight, but I'm glad for one, Bill, that you have brought forth NASCA. Okay, can you hear me? Are you able to hear me?
Yeah,
we're
having hear you.
Bit of problems here tonight. That's weird, but anyway, I'm very happy that NASCA is here for people. And as far as the LACP and the NASCA articles that we have there, they're a thing of interest, and we can discuss and have very good discussions. But NASCA itself is like the heart, okay? It's the heart of all of us who have, you know, been abused, okay, and lived through it. We're survivors. And so I'm very thankful that you brought forth NASCA so many years ago now, Bill. I don't know how many years I've been on. I don't know how long it's been. Oh, boy. I don't know what's going on here.
Okay.
Now I seem to have been able to get rid of that noise, as it appears. But anyway, it's a platform for people to come to. And it's a very good platform, and I'm really thankful that he brought it forth. And now he's back on again, but he's on mute because he's having problems on his end, too. We're having several problems tonight. You hear that?
Oh, yeah, we hear that.
What is that?
Oh, we don't know. It's just an echo. But let me just say something real quick, Carol. And I pretty much know where you're going to go. I love the fact that it was my show tonight. It was.
You need to mute yourself on your phone and talk through here. There you go. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Deborah. Love you, kiddo. So what I want to say is, you know, everything that is going to happen, it's going to happen. And unfortunately, the pain that we have to go through, and I'm going to take my earplugs out now because I hate hearing myself. The pain that we have to go through and what we have to go through is just an epitome of life. And when we get to learn how to teach each other how to be stronger and better and wiser, is always the most important part. And that's what we're doing here at NASCA, where we're trying to give the bottom part, like when you're at the bottom, the absolutely ugliest part of your life, you get to lift yourself up and you get to be a part of something that is amazing. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, yeah, it's true. But again, this is for the newcomers too, you know. Deborah, because, you know, there's people trying to listen tonight, and we're all having kind of a hard time because I don't know if it's blog talk or what's going on here. But we are here to support each other, but also to support the newcomers. Newcomers have to realize that they're never alone again, okay?
Right.
They do have a place where they can come to.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's a lot of people here that are on the contact list. We do have a contact list, which you can find on the front page of the website, and that's www.NASCA.org, NASCA.org. And if you look on there, you'll see contact us. And so I think it's important to let people know that, you know, we remember way back when we felt like we were the only person, you know, who was going through this type of life, if you want to call it life.
Mm-hmm.
But we were the only ones that, you know, were possibly being, you know, we were being abused. And that's a very lonely place to be, very lonely.
It is. And Carol, that's a very good place that I love that you put that. Because being in that lonely place, I want to let our listeners know, and I want people to understand where they're coming from. I mean, even right now, I just, like, drove down here, like, I don't do this, like, on a daily, but I was very scared, and I was very alone, and it really, really put me back to a place where I was afraid, and I was alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that, even we who are survivors, even though we've been on the healing journey, as I like to call it, you know, for quite some time, yeah, we're all different on that, and it doesn't matter, okay? But we can have our days when we can feel really, you know, we do stupid things. Sometimes I really do stupid things. I amaze myself. And you know, we're going to have our good days, we're going to have our bad days. But this is all a part of healing, okay? It's a part of our healing journey. And one thing that's good is that there's hope. There's hope.
Hope's always something to cling to. Everybody needs to do that. And it's important that we all find hope in something. And if you can focus on that, that always has some light.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly. I'm not quite sure what the echo is right now.
Okay, I can explain
it.
It's because you both are in the same room. You're hearing each other's phones. It might be even better to just have one of you hang up and just...
My phone's not on, so it has to be Deborah's phone. It's not my phone.
Okay,
my phone's not on.
Okay, I got you. You're on, I can hear you. You have to be
that's
on.
That's better now. Well,
okay, good.
That's better now. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. But, like I was saying, the hope. Go ahead.
Can I just be sensitive enough to acknowledge Deborah Hunt expressing that she was, she just went through a very big emotional place. Trying to get to the show. She's very dedicated to NASCA and so forth, and trying to get to the show on time, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she got very upset and emotional, and I just heard it in her voice. And I just want to assure her that it's all okay. And I want to express this to the newcomer, too, that whatever happens, it's okay.
we will handle it, and we'll take care of you, and everybody's fine here now tonight. We do these shows 6 nights a week, so there'll be an opportunity, another opportunity in the near future for people to come back, and sometimes this just happens. It's not the cleanest show we've ever done. It's not the worst either. Carol and I remember some shows that were real doozies. I want to thank Deborah Hunt for the effort, and I want to assure her that everything's okay, and she's doing fine, and she is much loved, okay? And that's enough for me to talk about. Go ahead, Carol or Deborah.
Okay. I think it's good to look back at times when we first started our healing journey, and realizing that we were going to make that step, that first step, that we wanted to heal, and to get onto that healing journey. And one thing I want to express too is sometimes during the course of the healing journey, we're not angels, any of us, okay? I mean, we make mistakes along the way. I can look back and see things that I did that I shouldn't have done. And you have to learn to forgive yourself, though, for those times, because, you see, we didn't have a normal life. And even people with the best type of life, this is something I've learned much later on, they can make mistakes, too, all right? They're not perfect either. So we have to be a little bit easier on ourselves when we do make mistakes and realize that there's always tomorrow, okay? If you let there be tomorrow, there's always tomorrow. And, and then you go a few more steps forward in your healing journey because you look back and you
reflect.
Okay. Carol, well, it seems like I'm the only one. People can hear me. Go ahead.
Let's make this a discussion show.
Yeah,
I'm sure the other people, but we have to allow the other people to have an opportunity. So I want to ask Deborah or Bobby if they want to say anything.
Sure. I think that the healing journey is very important. Sarah from New Zealand is usually on, and she's not on today, but, we talked a little bit about that when I met her. And, by the way, I'm going to be back in New Zealand in the end of July, early August for a couple of weeks. And I would love people to come out and continue that discussion. But people don't realize that their healing journey is slow. It's not an immediate thing. It takes years to get there. I was talking to someone today, and I, they were really upset, on the phone with me, and I was trying to get them to understand that it's baby steps, and it doesn't affect me in any way when people are like that, because they have to find their own path. And when in finding their own path, you break down, you fall down, you hit your knees, and you wipe your boo-boos off, and you keep going, And it's okay, My little air bear just the other day thought his life ended because his weekend was over. And I looked at him, and I said, if that is the biggest trouble that you have, baby, I'm doing something right. And he goes, it's over! And then I had to realize he needed to feel heard, that he was upset.
He wanted a voice.
So I said, okay, so how are you going to be positive about your weekend? How much do you have left? 4 hours. Because he had 4 hours before bedtime. I said, well, you can spend that 4 hours feeling sorry for yourself, or you can pick yourself up and you can do something positive. So what do you want to do? And then he just made a choice. But I had to validate him that his journey was going to continue tomorrow at school, but we were going to enjoy the time we had and find hope in what we had.
I do want to add to that being out here in Los Angeles, trying to find my way back to California is very important. Hearing important words just like, you have 4 hours to figure out what the hell you're going to do. Those words are so important. And you need to validate yourself. And this is what I've learned out of this entire trip. Yes, I am in Arizona. I reside in Arizona. I'm out here in Los Angeles right now, and I'm going out to Boston in less than a week and a half, and I have to acclimate to all this. But the most important part is what Deborah just said. Deborah just said, hey, how are you going to make this okay for yourself? How are you going to make this okay for yourself? Let's do this. Let's make it okay for ourselves. I have, if you guys have no idea on air what the trauma has been through in my past month, but it's okay. I'm okay. I have Deborah, I have Bill, I have what I continue to do to make it a continual process, to make it positive. And I want only positive, not negative, for everybody who is listening on air right now in NASCA. Love it, appreciate it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's one of Bill's favorite topics, so...
Sometimes I do express it as, you know, when there's nothing you can do about it, don't do anything. Because a lot of people will run around kind of like a head cut off. There's nothing to do. If you're stuck in the elevator, you know, there's very little you can do other than try and notify the guy downstairs. You know, that you should do. But the rest of it, you know, it's not worth fretting over, frankly, because if there's nothing you can do about it, don't do anything, you know. Let it pass.
Yeah.
There'll be a moment, another decision. So forth. The doors will open on some floor, and then you'll have another, you know, choice to make. But not right now, you know. So anyway, that's the expression I sometimes use, Deborah. You're right.
Yeah, I love it. And there's no reason that I would not love that. I appreciate everything that you do, Mr. Murray. And you're doing a great job. And, hey, Deb and Deb gets together maybe once out of every year. But Deborah has something to say, so I want.
I was making sure I didn't mute you on accident. We're good.
Okay, so anybody else on the show, I would love to hear some closing statements. Carol, where are you?
I have to share something with you. Maybe it'll make you feel better. I was due, this is going back a couple of years ago now, maybe 3 years ago, to give a speech, okay? And I got, you know, I have no sense of direction. I walked into a building.
I have no sense of direction whatsoever.
I walked into a building, and I walked through some doors because there were signs there that said, you know, where I thought I was supposed to be. The door closed behind me, and it locked. And I was pounding and pounding and pounding on the window of this door. And no one could hear me, as it appeared. And I was due to stand up on the stage and give a speech. So finally, I wrote a note because I found a piece of paper. I was in an actual office area. I wrote a note and I slid it under the door. And someone picked up my note and then they realized that I was stuck in this room. Okay? So they unlocked the door and I walked out and I gave my presentation, even though I was 15, I guess about 15 minutes late. And it went well. Now, you see, Bill just said something there. He said, if you can't do anything, you can't run around like a rooster. I mean, I felt like it. Okay? I almost felt panicky, and I've gotten over my panic in years, I thought, you know. But I was supposed to be somewhere at a certain time, and I couldn't be because I locked myself in the wrong door because I wasn't supposed to be there. So, you see, things happen. They happen. So, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. Wherever you were stuck, you were stuck. But now you're unstuck. So you made me think about that time. But it was a good chuckle for me, which I need because of my bad tooth.
Hear you.
So,
why?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So Thank you for that. That was beautiful, and I'm very gracious. And fortunately, yeah, I ended up where I'm at right now. But, you know, the whole purpose of me being here and the whole reason of what I do, why I do it, and how I do it is never going to change. It was a really crappy night, I'm going to say. I'm like, that was, I didn't plan for that at all. I planned for it to be way better, but tonight I love that you're here. I love that Bill's here. I love that we have all our listeners and all our guests here, and I greatly appreciate it. And you know what? Whatever hardship I have to go through, I will go through it. Captain Obvious number one, I'm going to make sure everybody else is okay. So as long as you're okay, and as long as Bill's okay, and as long as the show's okay, I'm golden.
Okay.
Well, I just want you to know I'm okay, okay? I'll be fine. Christina just got home. I don't know if anybody can hear me. But Christina just got home, and she discovered a couple of, she's discovering a couple of things as she walks around the house, little gifts for her. I think I can sign off. You can play.
Did she get the flowers, Bill?
She didn't see them yet.
Oh.
What flowers? What flowers?
All right, well, you're a great husband, and she'll find them, baby. You're golden.
Thank you.
Oh, Christina found them.
Yes, she just did.
Yes.
Say something. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Christina.
How are you?
I'm great, and we're on air, so...
Right, she knows this. All right, we're going to sign off on my end. You guys, all you need to do is stop like 2 minutes early and play the music and then hang up after all the music is played, okay? And that's
okay,
it.
Okay, no problem.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Thanks,
Carol. We know how to do that.
All right.
No problem, Bill.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful show, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. Love you all.
Good God. I don't know what all that noise is, but I'd like to squash it. I don't know where it is, where it's coming from.
It's done and done.
Nah.
Hey, Carol.
So,
I want to send out my appreciation for everybody who comes in and listens to our shows. You do a great job. Tammy does a great job. Everybody who dedicates their selves to what we're doing here is just an amazing and an important part of what we're doing here for NASCA. I love that Bill's finally getting a break and he gets to take some time out, and I'll take on whatever needs to be taken on. Carol?
Yes.
You are amazing. And I want everybody on air to know that you are, what you do and what you've been through is just absolutely amazing and integral to NASCA, as well as the rest of our hosts. I'm going to be doing some interviews for each person. Oh, Carol, when those interviews come into you, you're going to get some really good questions.
Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
And I cannot wait for it. And it is going to be impressive. And when we put that out to the NASCA community, it will be great. So.
Okay, well, that's good. Whose idea was that?
Yeah. Just you. Just.
Yes.
Yeah, people ask me questions all the time about myself, and I know we're supposed to tell our story all the time, and then I do tell it, but I've been telling it for so many years. It's actually refreshing because you had mentioned at one other time that it's going to be on a personal level, and that's fine. I'm at the point in my life where I can share me. And if I can help someone, fine. You know, and if you want to find out more about me, that's fine too. I don't have anything to hide.
And whether you can or can't, regardless of the benefactor of that, as long as you are honest to yourself,
mm-hmm.
that is what's going to be beneficial to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
When you're
Absolutely.
Honest to yourself and when you're honest about what you have been through, and I'm finding more and more every day that I can actually sit here and say, yeah, all right, that hurt me. I get my best friend who's sitting right next to me
mm-hmm.
with her beautiful freaking hair and makeup, but mm-hmm. she still sits here every day next to me, whether I'm in Arizona or whether I'm in California. She still sits here next to me and says, Deborah, shut up. Shut up. You talk
a lot. I
want
a hair. I want a hair.
I'm like, oh, yeah. I think I talk a lot, but I don't think I talk that much. She's like, no. You talk
I want
a lot
Deborah.
About a bunch of bullshit. That doesn't
I
mean
want
a bunch
Dr.
Of
Deborah's hair. That's what I want. She's got beautiful, thick, lush, plush hair. Yes,
it will be red tomorrow.
Red? Why?
I'm dyeing it. For Christmas, I'm dyeing it festive red.
Ha, ha. Oh, that'll be cool. You have to, be
so
up on Facebook. Yeah, you have to show that. Yeah, you do. I want to see that.
I'm definitely going to show it. You think it's not going to happen? Carol.
I believe it.
It's
going to
happen. I already have red hair, so.
Well, I have reddish brown, so, man. Bobby,
yeah,
you going to dye your hair, too?
No,
oh, Bobby,
I'm not dying
there
my
listening
hair.
To
no,
it.
I'm not. I'm actually going to leave my hair gray, so that should be very important. I'm going to keep my streaks in my little side strips, but it's okay. I am actually proud of that, and I'm actually proud of what you do here at NASCA, Carol, and Deborah, who comes in 3 weeks out of the month every Tuesday. For 3 weeks, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I am very proud and absolutely just beside myself to be a part of NASCA, as I'm sure you are as well, Carol.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's why I'm still here.
There's nothing that could mm-hmm. take the place of actually speaking the truth. And when you get to actually speak the truth and you feel that,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that's going to hold that back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And, yeah, you still get to put up with me. I'm the young bee on the, I'm the young bee on the panel. I get it. But at the same time, I have a lot of knowledge to put into that. So with that, I want to wish you God bless, and I want to see your final thoughts for the evening.
Well, it was a different show, but it was an honest show. You see, if things happen to people honestly, you know, like we didn't expect to have so many problems with the audio and all this other stuff that went on. But it's okay. Didn't kill anybody, you know. And tomorrow, you know, we will not probably have this audio problem. And we'll have a show that's, you know, that's a good, really, really good show. We have wonderful shows here. So if once in a while something goes wrong, you know, with Blog Talk or whatever it is that created this, it happens and it's okay. See, that's the thing we always have to learn is, as survivors, it's okay. You know, so that's just my final thought. You know, don't come down so hard on ourselves. Because, as my daughter says, I don't mean this in a vile way. She says, "Shit happens," and she's quite sure, you know.
Oh, definitely did tonight.
Right.
But you know what, Carol? The blessing that we have right now is that you're here, and we can talk about it, and we can be open and honest about it, and hey, mm-hmm. this is our radio show, this is what we do, and, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm doing my own, you're going to be a co-host, and, it might get ugly, but tonight, it wasn't ugly, it was beautiful, and, of course, we always appreciate Dr. Deborah,
mm-hmm.
and we appreciate you and all the other panelists involved. Absolutely. I think it's just an amazing place that we can be. And you are going to send out the ending.
Oh, you mean for the song? You want me to do that now? It's a little early.
It's a little early.
Yeah. I just want to say one thing to the people out there who are listening who can hear us, right? I was very much taken again by the TEDx talk, and I'm going to say this again, okay? That's the way it's written here, with Dr. Deborah Warner, and I really would like to express my gratitude for her speech, okay, her presentation, because it's very important, okay?
It was.
And I want people to feel more free, to call in and ask her questions, because she does have a lot of knowledge, okay? And we all have a lot of knowledge. We've all done things. And but she had a good, displayed a lot of knowledge that with that presentation, and I appreciate that. So thank you again, Dr. Deb. And people out there, don't be afraid to call in. Okay.
No, absolutely not. And I want to absolutely say that I was sitting front row, center seat, and looking Mrs. Deborah Warner in the eye when she's giving her speech. And we were both tearing up, and we both, no?
No, I was we're tearing up. Codeine and medication, yes.
We're tearing up, and
my direct didn't say anymore.
And she looked beautiful, and she did a wonderful job, and she did a great speech that
mm-hmm.
I inspire myself from, and I hope everybody else that is on NASCA that who can actually see her speech, please
mm-hmm.
look at it. She has a lot to say, and it's extremely important, and it's more important than. Anything that I thought I could say, but guess what? She inspired me. I'm going to be doing this too. Guess what? You'll see me in about a year and a half. We'll see. But
You'll do it.
Oh, yeah.
I do it.
But you know what? Dr. Deborah Warner already did it herself, and she did an amazing job. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm proud of her. But you have no idea. Like, if I could have little sparkly wings flying off of my back going, boop, 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 that's my girlfriend. I love her. And that's my forever. And Dr. Deborah Warner and I will always be friends. So,
well, you've known each other since elementary school, for God's sake, isn't that
yes.
right?
Yes, sir.
That's a long-ass time.
It's a long-ass time. She just called us
mm-hmm.
old, Deborah.
We are old, honey.
We're not old. We're not that old.
Yeah, I knew you before you went through ponytails and braces and, like,
oh, no.
breaking your body, like,
she
thousands
had that.
Of times. Like, yeah, no, okay. Yeah, we're old.
Well,
okay.
I'm very blessed. I'm going to sit here and say right now I'm very blessed to have this last face-to-face
mm-hmm.
interview with Dr. Deborah Warner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy. And thank the Lord Jesus. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is not a religious show, but to be quite honest,
to me. Mm-hmm.
I love being right here next to my best friend. And I have to pack up and make sure everything's clean and cool. But right now, between us, everything's clean and cool.
Okay. Bobby, I don't know what you think. He probably thinks we're nuts. He's the only guy on the
show
right now.
Oh, Bobby already knows.
Bobby, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, that's it. This one.
Are you listening to a lot of girl talk? Okay. We know what you think about NASCA, Bobby. You know that you, especially as a guy, that you think it's very important, and it is very important.
Well, we know that Bobby has been here for 3 years, and
mm-hmm.
Bobby has a lot of pride in what he does, and we're all always proud of what Bobby does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a gracious and beautiful thing, and thank you, Bobby. Even though you can't speak up tonight, we still appreciate you. Thank you for being here, and Carol, thank you for being my trailer tonight and really backing
mm-hmm.
me up.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
But everything is going to be golden. And for everybody here at NASCA, I want to sit here and say, without a voice, you cannot be heard. And from all of us here at NASCA, this is your voice. Good evening and God bless.
God bless. Good night, everyone.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
There we go.
Log Talk Radio.
Okay, it's gone.